T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we're back. Hour number two, Doug Cintieri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. We're on till 10 o'clock. And stay tuned on WWL at 2 o'clock. Got joined Christian Garrick and Herb Tyler at the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate Show, live from Drago's Restaurant, the Hilton Riverside, New Orleans, home of the original charbroiled oysters. 4:30, LSU's official pregame show, the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, and color analyst Doug Morrow. Game time, 6:30, Tigers versus the Seminoles. So they're back at Drago's today for WWL after Drago's fed the LSU team last night. They fed them downtown there at the Hilton, right?
I think they were in Metairie.
I was wondering about that because I don't know if there was.
I think that was Metairie, and then I think they're also feeding. They're also feeding Florida State as well.
So, really?
Yep. Yeah. So he got a pretty good gig, right? But
you know,
deserves it. He works hard. Got the place in Baton Rouge, and you know, big LSU fan from way back. I know his brother Jerry doesn't miss a game. So good luck to them. Good luck to the Tigers.
I'll tell you an interesting story about Tommy or Drago's. This is when Drago was still around. When I was working as an agent, and we were doing a contract. It was like a routine contract, and but the assistant general manager insisted in negotiating face to face, and I'm like, okay. And so nothing. I mean, it's just a routine contract we're just talking about. So he flew down, and we met, and he said, all right. Where are those charbroiled oysters? So I took him to Drago's, and then he wanted to go to Tipitina's because Dr. John was playing. So in essence, it really wasn't about the contract. He just needed to tell his team that he had to fly down to New Orleans to take care of some business, and he had not a lot of business to take care of. But my point being. You know, he wanted to come down just to have charbroiled oysters with Drago's. So, that was a team in the Northeast. So, he is known all over the nation. So, congratulations.
Oh yeah, no, he absolutely is. And you know, I remember working there when it was a little mom and pop, and I was standing behind the bar, and Drago and Clary and Tommy were talking about whether or not they were going to stay open and if they were going to have to shut it down because business was slow. And Tommy basically said, no, this is my future. And so they ended up borrowing money and getting rid of the old clunky brown chairs and renovating the place and got rid of a lot of the Yugoslavian food on the menu and started, Tommy took over the menu to a great degree and, it made it what it is. So he's kudos to him. And then, of course, their legacy of giving is legendary around here. Right after Katrina and even beyond, they still are just so generous. You know, every Catholic boys' high school anyway in the city that they do a day of, you know, it's Brother Martin Day or St. Aug Day or whatever, and they'll, you know, you go and 100% of the proceeds from the sales. Go to the various high schools. He's always at you know, grammar schools doing charbroiled oysters and, you know, for their school fairs, et cetera. So he gives and gives and gives. It's really a pleasure to see such a so he deserves everything he gets.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Robert. He's got an insurance question. Hey, Robert, you on All Things Legal. What you have for us, brother?
How are you this morning?
We're doing great. What you got for us, brother?
All right. I have an insurance question for you. Mm-hmm. If a man dies and has a life insurance policy and the wife is the beneficiary, but she dies before she puts the claim in, can the son put the claim in?
Was she alive when? When you say put the claim in, was she alive when?
She was alive when he died.
Okay.
But she died before she put the claim in for the life insurance.
Well, then it would go to her estate then. So if she had a will. Did she have a will?
No.
Okay, then it would go to and. Okay, so the wife was. Did the wife have children?
Yes.
It would go to her children.
She had two sons. Could the two sons put a claim in for the life insurance policy, even though they weren't listed as a beneficiary?
Yeah. What happens is when she died, when he died, it vested in her, and then she died. So what they'd have to do is open up a succession. And after a succession is open, they have an administrator appointed, a succession representative, and the succession would make a claim on behalf of the estate of the mother. So they would have to file succession first, open up an intestate succession proceeding. They'd open up a proceeding in the court stating that mom had died. They would appoint a succession representative. The succession representative would be in charge of identifying all the assets and the liabilities of the estate. And one of the assets of the estate would be the life insurance policy that she was the beneficiary of.
Right. Okay. And so even though she's dead, it would automatically go to the two sons?
Yeah, she died after he died. So it actually vested in her while she was, you know, alive. And then she died. Now, if she died before, it would go to before her husband died. Then it would go to the alternate beneficiary if it's listed. If not, it would go to
his
estate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have to open up a succession on behalf of her, because that is an asset of the estate now. So it actually goes through probate. Typically, life insurance proceeds do not. You send them a death certificate if you're a beneficiary, and they'll fill out some paperwork, and you get the insurance proceeds. But in this instance, if there is no contingent beneficiaries listed on the insurance policy, then because she died before she made that claim, that becomes an asset of her estate, and so you have to open a succession. The proceeds would then go to the succession representative, who would then distribute it in accordance with, you know, Louisiana law.
Succession representative would be a lawyer of your choice.
No. You'd have
to. Is that right?
No, the succession representative would be one, usually in this case, one of the children who would be the legal representative of the estate or the point person. But you would need a lawyer to open up the succession. You'd need a lawyer to file the paperwork with the court to open the succession and appoint a legal representative, which is usually a spouse or a family member.
Okay. All right. But the two sons can put a claim in, though.
They have to open a succession first, and then the succession can make a claim.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for the call. It's interesting. You know, there's a distinction. If the mother would have died before, it might have had different implications. But since she died after, it became an asset of her estate. All right. Let's see. Do we still have Jimmy, you're in all things legal. What can we do for you, brother?
Yes, I have. It's kind of a long story, but anyway, my parents owned a house uptown, and in 1994 would have been the year that they turned 65, mm-hmm. and subsequently got an age freeze. But at the time, the house was worth less than the homestead exemption, so it was free. The property tax, and at some point, you know, the estimation of the house went above homestead exemption, and then they had to pay property tax. But at some point in 2001, my mother, who did all the bills and stuff, she got cancer and she was sick for a very long time. And at that time, the price was going up every year. And my dad didn't know anything about it. He just paid the bills. And then when my mother died, my sister took over the thing in 2005. And then in 2006, my sister died of cancer. So after that, it just kept going up again. So he was paying in some years $5,000 a year in property tax, when in theory it should have been free the whole time. Is there any way to talk to the city about that or do something about that? I mean, I'm not trying to get the money back. I'm just trying to understand why they did that. It just seems wrong to me.
So both of your parents are still alive?
They're dead.
They're dead. Okay.
Now, so, me and my sister have the house now, and the property tax is about $6,500 a year. Neither one of us have an age freeze, or we couldn't keep it going because we're not old enough for that.
Right.
And I was just wondering, you know, I mean, it just seems like that's not right to me. Because we didn't know anything about it. They were handling their own bills. But when we looked through the records, we saw all of this. And that's just my question. Is that wrong? Or is that, I mean,
well,
it doesn't seem like the city could have done that.
What you have to do is you have to make application for it. It's not an automatic age freeze. So regardless of, you know, your age, whatever, when you become 65, you make application to the assessor's office and let them know, right? I mean, they don't necessarily keep track of everyone's age who owns a house. And so you have to let them know, hey, I'm 65. I need to freeze my property taxes. And if no application was made, then it just continued to go up as the assessor raised the assessment. So, I don't know that there's anything you can do at this point.
Because sometimes I've seen where they will say, well, we can go back a few years and give you the difference if you file the thing. Like, they did that a couple – I think that happened once where they said, okay, well, you were paying $5,000. We can make it go back to whatever when it was $3,500, and we'll make it that. They did do that, I think, one time.
Well, you can't,
and they gave him some refunds. But
can't hurt asking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. At this point, it's going to
but
be.
I didn't know if I needed a lawyer to do that, or I can do it myself.
No.
I just.
I don't think a lawyer.
No,
you'd
be better off without a lawyer. Because if you know you go hire a lawyer, they're going to think, "Gee whiz, he's got enough money to pay a lawyer." You know, but this way, if you can go help him out, I mean, at this point, you and your sister own the house, and so the assessed value is going to be what the assessed value is. So. You know, it's going to be tough to go back now that they're deceased, and you're going to have all this paperwork. And hey, look, give it a shot. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's
going to
be.
I'm going to say they got $100,000 that they didn't deserve. You know, it seems like a lot to me.
If the rule states that you got to apply for it, then, and you don't apply for it, then I don't know that they did anything wrong, right? So. Anyway, but yeah, I would go give it a shot. I'd go talk to the assessor and plead your case and see what happens.
All right. Well, good luck with it. Good luck with it. Let's take a break. Thanks for the call. Doesn't hurt asking. The worst thing could happen, you'd be in the same position you were before you asked. So just go ahead and give it a shot. All right, let's go to break. Dux and Terry, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we're back. Doug Santeri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. All right, Albert, I got Charlie's back at the studio, and I have to get this straight because it's really bothering me. I'm in Mandeville right now. Albert's in Metairie. Charlie's in the studio and on Porter Street. Now, we used to go in the studio until COVID, and now we do it at home. But we text back and forth about – because when we were in the studio, we used to have the caller board, and we could read off the caller board on who's calling. But now we have to text. Well, I'm texting Charlie, and I usually give a thumbs up on when he smiles on the board or on the phone. But I hit the wrong icon, and I hit an icon that I would send to my wife, and not Charlie back at the studio. And so the icon, you know, it's kind of the icon you would send to your wife. And so I accidentally hit it.
Depending on who your wife is, right? And what kind of relationship.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, right. I wrote about 4 texts. I'm sorry, it's the wrong icon, right? Wrong icon. But I just want to state for the record, because, you know, you got employment issues and all that sort of thing, you know? People getting the wrong idea.
But that's okay.
So I got Charlie, a good chuckle out of it.
Charlie,
don't worry,
I'm sorry.
About it.
It was a slip of the thumb. Okay, I'm very happily married. I love my wife and everything, and you know I'm not you know, so we're straight, huh?
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
No EEOC complaint or anything, you know. All right. I feel better. Let's talk about insurance claims and lawsuits. We're not going to be on until October 23rd. We're off 7 weeks because the Saints are playing at noon. Or are they playing the Sunday morning game in London? So we'll be off the next 7 weeks. And we'll be back October 23rd. We'll be on a little bit in November because the Saints will be playing prime time Thursday night games and that sort of thing. But basically, it's important to note that you have two years from Hurricane Ida to file a lawsuit to maintain your claim. But that doesn't apply for any of the claims against Southern Fidelity, Lighthouse, Access, Standard Fire, any of those companies that are in receivership. That as of now, you would have to file a lawsuit for any unresolved claims by December 31st, or you would lose your your claim would expire or prescribed, as we say, Albert.
That's correct. Yeah. So there has been an extension for LIGA claims to be filed. So we're in that mode. If you have an insurance company that has gone bankrupt or insolvent, you will need to actually file a lawsuit unless it's extended again. But you'll have to file a lawsuit against LIGA by December 31st of this year. Now, listen, I'm of the school of thought that you've been out of pocket. You got a blue tarp on your roof still. It's probably time to file suit by now. You know, they're either going to pay you or they're not. So you need to go ahead and get that done. Let's get it moving. You know, as soon as they realize that it's off of their desk and they have to start paying lawyers to defend them and, you know, having third parties look at their file and see that, oh, they didn't do this right and they didn't do that right, then I think they get a little more aggressive in paying claims. So anyway, that's my opinion. I mean, there's still some out there that maybe no work has been done. They can still be evaluated. But at the end of the day, you're to the point where, okay, if you don't want to pay X or close to X, then we're going to go ahead and just get it filed and move forward.
So, and I just wanted to give a list of the insurance companies that have gone bankrupt or receivership, because a lot of people are it's very confusing to people, because we don't want to leave the impression that you have 2 years to file a lawsuit if it's one of the claims that are in receivership. It's confusing for lawyers. A lot of lawyers have been calling us about that issue. So it's confusing for everyone. So if you've had Access Insurance Company, America's Insurance Company, Lemic Insurance Company, Lighthouse Insurance Company, Southern Fidelity, Standard National Fire Insurance Company, and there's some smaller companies, Snyder Mutual Funeral Association, Sabine Mutual Benevolent Funeral Association, Pride of Carroll Life, Penn Treaty American Insurance Company. If you've had any of those insurance companies that are in receivership and your claim's unresolved, you'll have to file a lawsuit by December 31st or your claim will go away, basically. So just, you know, keep that in mind. And you don't want to wait till December 31st. I mean, I would say, if you hadn't had your claim resolved, at least by a delay this November 1st, go find a lawyer to file a lawsuit. And, you know, we'd be glad to do it. But, you don't want to lose your claim, because if you try to call after January 1st and you hadn't filed the lawsuit, I don't think they're going to deal with you. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about is when your claim does go to LIGA, Louisiana Insurance Guarantee Association, like Albert said, you don't have the ability or enforcement mechanism of bad faith. And in the way that is working now is the bad faith damages. People say, do companies pay bad faith damages in mediations? Generally not, unless there's a very extreme situation. And they have, but generally not. But the way the bad faith laws are helpful is when, you know, there's three buckets of damages in a insurance claim. One bucket where everybody agrees to the cost and scope. One bucket where people say, no, that's not hurricane related, that's wear and tear. And there's a middle bucket that can go either way. You know, do you pull out the floors or do you clean the grout? Do you take out the sheetrock or do you, disinfect it and paint over it? You know, do you get a new air conditioned system or do you do a maintenance or repairs? You have all these issues that can go either way. And the way the bad faith law is helpful is a lot of times when you get into mediation and the insurance companies are trying to maybe nickel and dime you on certain issues, when you say, look, you got bad faith here. You didn't respond to the claim for 90 days, 120 days. You didn't pay undisputed claims. A lot of times they'll back off those issues and maybe not contest them as hard, knowing that they have vulnerability on the back end if they go to litigation. And that's how the bad faith claims.
I will tell you, Doug, I just recently had a mediation conference, and we had them dead to right. I mean, they did not pay the initial claim within 30 days of their own adjustment. And then they didn't pay the contents claim, even though our clients painstakingly went through every piece of contents, had a price, had a year of purchase listed, listed model numbers when they had the chance, all of these things, and they still didn't pay it. And we settled for our full damages plus not all of the penalties, right? But a substantial portion of the penalties, and they knew it was going to happen, and they wanted this to go away. They didn't want to have to pay a lawyer and then get hit with the same thing, plus a couple of years worth of judicial interest and all the court costs and expert fees and everything else. So it happens. And honestly, we have been getting some claims and where, the insurance company made a decent settlement offer, right? It wasn't a settlement, but they just made another payment. But they were still about $20,000, $30,000 short, and they only paid about $5,000 or $6,000 the first time and paid $90,000 the next time. Excuse me, there's some case law out there that says, if you just go out there as an insurance company, and even though you pay it within 30 days and you only pay, a infinitesimal amount, and then you turn around and pay $100,000 on a subsequent reinspection, then it defeats the purpose of the penalty statute if you're allowed to do that. And the courts will look at that and say, wait, you just paid eight times more than you did the first time. And, so we're gonna hit you up for penalties on the whole payment, right, on the entire amount due. Wow. And so we've had people call us that said, hey, look, I've gotten everything I can get. I did not sign a release, right? They this is what they've paid me. And they came to us, we've reevaluated, looked at it from the beginning. Okay, when did they pay that first claim? When did they pay the second? How long after they reinspected it? All that sort of thing. And if you take the claim, if you got a six-figure claim, you're looking at another $75,000, $80,000 in penalties and attorney's fees for their bad faith. So we're bringing some claims strictly for bad faith and a small gap, whatever that gap might be in between what your estimate was and the estimate in the payments they've given.
Well, and I think in the context of, I was talking about before, is we tell people when you go to your initial mediation, they'll make a better offer than they would normally because of the bad faith issue.
Yes.
But and a lot of times with the insurance, if you can wait and you're willing to wait, you'll probably get a better offer if you got a bad faith issue if you wait. But sometimes the insurance company will say, hey, this is what we're offering you right now, and you have to make a decision. Because before you didn't have a decision to make because they didn't offer anything or may not have offered very little. And say you have a decision. Now, here's the decision of the homeowner. I'm willing to wait to get more damages. It might be 2 months. It might be 3 months. It might be 6 months. It might be in the footsteps of trial. But I do know that, the insurance companies will throw money at you to make you make a decision. Some are like, we can't wait. We need the money now. And, even though we could get more later, we need it now. We'll take it. Some will say, I'm willing to wait. I waited this long. We'll go further in the process. We'll go further in the process and see if we can pursue these bad faith damages more. And we can, start developing that. And they will probably, in most cases in bad faith, come with money, more money. It's just they're going to make you wait a little bit, whether it be a couple of months. Sometimes at a few mediations, we'll say no. And, you might be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 apart. And then you get a phone call a week or two later saying, is that offer still on the table? So, it's a negotiation. Yeah. And I guess we'll talk a little bit about that right after the break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. You can give us a call also at 504-837-1304. We're not going to be on for the next six weekends. We'll be back October 23rd. I think the Saints are playing a Thursday night game that weekend against the Cardinals. So we'll be on, and we'll be on some in November and December when the Saints are playing, not playing at 12 o'clock. So we're not going anywhere. I anticipate we'll be back for year 16 next year. So, but Albert, if you could give a little insight, we've done a whole handful of mediations already for IDA claims. If you could, in about 3 or 4 minutes, give insight as to what occurs during a mediation, what are the things you talk about, and how do the negotiations progress?
Well, I had one on Thursday, right? And this was actually a suit against the contractor. And my client, you know, listen, whether it's a suit against the contractor, whether it's a hurricane claim, whatever the case may be, when it involves your residents, it's personal. I mean, people are very upset. You know, a contractor comes in, they screw something up. They don't get permits for this or that. They hire unlicensed people to do the work or incompetent people. They're not supervising. All the myriad of reasons why you should be just angry. They took your money. They're demanding more money. All of these things. So what I always do before I go into the mediation is I try to set my client's expectation level. Okay. Your claim is X, and this is 100% hitting the back fence, doing X, Y, Z. We're going to sit in a room, and a mediator's job is not to award damages or go in the other room and fight for you. In fact, it's just the opposite. That mediator's job is to settle the claim, period, and no, nothing else. So typically, they will go into your room, they'll tell me all the great things about your case, and then they'll go tell the other side, hey, this is how great their case is. Your case is horrible, and here are the bad things going on in your case and the trouble spots that you have. You need to come up with more money. And then they go back to you and say, hey, look, you're demanding too much money. We've got this, this, and this, and they've got an engineer that says this, and, you know, all of these things, right? And so you come down a little bit. They come down a little bit. They always say that whenever both parties walk away a little disappointed, you've reached a great settlement. And so you really need to set your expectations at a mediation conference that you're not going to get everything you want. You may not get everything you want at trial either, right? Witnesses die. We've experienced that in the past. One of our estimators passed away, and we've now, you know, when it comes time to go try cases, fortunately it was just a handful in the beginning and we've managed to resolve them. But when you go try this case, they're going to say, who's your expert? And if your expert's gone, your expert's gone. I mean, and then again, look, some people you issue subpoenas for them. They don't want to be in trial. They want to go. You know, do their plumbing work or do their roofing work. And so you have trouble sometimes getting them. Or, you know what, look, I put on 1,000 roofs since the storm. I really don't remember this one. Here's the estimate, but, you know, that's about all I can remember. So all of these things tend to happen at trial, you know. And so there's always a risk at trial. In fact, it's in our fee agreement, right? Litigation can be frustrating. It can take a long time. It can be risky. You just don't ever know what's going to happen. So as a result, you know, we let our clients know, and listen, we're there to get them as much money as we can get them. And so if it means going to trial and swinging for the back fence, and they're willing to go through the you know, ups and downs and everything of the trial, you know, we're there for them. We're litigators. We've been doing it a long time. But
yes, sir.
At the same time, there's a value to closure, right? Hey, look, I'll take a little bit less now, and we'll shut it down and move on, well, right?
In sports terms, when you go to mediation, you might hit a single or stretch out a double, but you're not going to hit the grand slam. So there
exactly.
You go. All right, let's go to our final break. Doug Cinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. All right, we're back. Doug Cinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. All things legal. Again, We're going to be off next 6 weeks. The Saints will be playing at 12. Pre-game coverage will start at 8 in the morning, so we will be preempted. We will be on October 23rd next time. Saints play, I think, a Thursday night game against the Cardinals, so we'll be on that Sunday, and we'll be on Sundays thereafter when the Saints aren't playing at 12. I'll be heading to the LSU game as soon as we finish the show. Albert, I wanted to ask you this. What do you think about the C.J. Gardner trade?
Obviously, you know, they couldn't come to terms. I don't want a player that doesn't want to be here. You know, and so I think they felt until this recent arrest that they had enough backup and enough players that could play safety that could fill that position. I'm not, you know, I hate trading away a starter and getting late round picks for it. Obviously that must have been the best they could do. So you just, you know, you just don't know. And listen, I think they've gotten what they needed to get out of him. They've got some good years out of him, and you know, he's a lot older now. So, you know, he may be good for a year or two and not worth the money. Sometimes you just got to tell people that, right? Because we're paying a wide receiver way too much money.
Well, you know, basically the Patriots had a lot of success because they were able to offload players before you had to overpay them. Richard Seymour, and they have a whole line of players that they did that. And Saints will be $60 million over the cap. I think that if Chauncey Gardner is on your team, you love him. If you're an opponent, you hate him. He's got that kind of personality. But on the same token, he has that type of personality that if he's not happy with something, he probably could be internally disruptive.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Right. And I think the one thing about the Saints – man, they're like the CIA. They keep things tight. There's no leakers in there. And I think they, you know, they just they give the company line and they you know, they hold things close to their vest. But if you put truth serum in them, they would probably say, as is my opinion, that CJ could not go through a 4 months of a season without a contract and making it an issue and being an internal disruption. So therefore, we're going to make that to maintain the team culture and the team locker room, we're going to have to offload him because we think he may be disruptive like Michael Thomas was a couple of years ago and other players who were
yank the Band-Aid off now you know, let some other guys come in and play. So so we'll see.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to change the subject real quickly. Back to the guy who called in about the homestead exemption. The Constitution says an eligible owner or the owner's spouse or legally qualified representative shall apply for the special assessment level, meaning the, you know, keeping it level, by filing a signed application establishing that the owner qualifies for the special assessment level with the assessor of the parish.
There you go. So
they didn't follow that rule, then it's going to be real tough for them at this point to collect it. But, hey, they might get some help.
All right. Well, we'll see you in six weeks.
Nice to sleep in a little bit on a Sunday.
So that's right. We'll see you in about 6 weeks, all things legal. And y'all have a great week, great Labor Day. And this Brian Kelly's not saying go Tigers. Go Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.